Welcome to The Extra, the show that connects you with the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And certainly one topic we do enjoy covering here is travel, because travel is the backbone of so many people's lives. It provides a way to, you know, get away, to visit loved ones, to have loved ones come here, and sometimes just to, you know, get to your next business meeting. You got to travel. And travel through the Colorado Springs Airport, which is Colorado's small airport, has become more convenient than ever, because being small means COS is big on friendliness, safety, and convenience. COS also big in development and air traffic, as we're going to hear, with growth at the Peak Innovation Park going gangbusters, as well as your air service. So joining us to break this all down this morning with information on the Colorado Springs Airport, we're so pleased to have on the KRDO Newsline, Dana Shield, Public Communications Specialist for the Colorado Springs Airport. Good morning, Dana.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
All right. So we had in our news segments this morning that travelers are going to start seeing something new at the airport, and that something new is going to usher in some newer conveniences and attractions. But tell us about this upcoming construction going on.
Yes, so we launched yesterday our concourse modernization project, which we have named Elevate COS. So it's all about elevating the airport and the customer experience and everyone's expectations for what an airport should be. We want to elevate all of that with this project. And construction is beginning on Sunday, September 10th. And this concourse modernization is going to be a three-year project, so multi-year project that modernizes our entire post-security area. So everything post-security will be updated. We'll have new lighting, new flooring, all of that infrastructure that has aged over time since the terminal was built in 1994.
It's been there? 1994,
it's, wow. Yeah. It's been a while, so I think we're due for a little facelift.
30 years, yeah. Not many people's homes go that long without getting some sort of remodel.
30 years. Absolutely. So, yeah, we're excited. And, you know, with that, of course, you know, we talked about, yeah, needing a facelift and modernizing things. But with that also comes focusing on sustainability and accessibility. We want to make sure our airport is as efficient as possible when it comes to our environment and save where we can. And then, of course, be accessible to any and all travelers that travel through the airport.
Can you describe what's to come?
Yeah, so we have an array of things coming. So like I said, we're aging infrastructure we're updating. So we'll have LED lighting and terrazzo flooring. The bathrooms will be upgraded. We'll have larger hold rooms, which is where you sit at your gate when you're waiting for your plane. Updated things like charging stations and, you know, conveniences for travel. And our airline counters and gate counters will be updated as well. So really everything that you see on concourse is going to be updated in some way, shape, or form. And the overall feeling and look will match what we've done pre-security on the first and second floor that we completed in 2019. So it'll be lighter, it'll be brighter, it'll match the facade and the design that we have on the public side of the airport with the terrazzo flooring and lighter paint, raised ceilings, and there'll be added amenities, like we'll have a fireplace that we add on the concourse as well. So the overall feeling will be updated and cozy and comfortable and, like I said, more accessible and more sustainable, which is really important for us.
Mm. What about TSA queuing? I mean, getting in line for that. What about that?
So we actually have our TSA queuing project in progress right now. That is a project that isn't necessarily at the TSA checkpoint. It's in the queuing area where you wait for TSA. That area is being expanded to accommodate higher levels of traffic, which we've seen over the last few years and will continue to see in the future as we continue to add air service. So our TSA queuing area has been enlarged, and that construction will wrap up at the end of this month. So ahead of the holidays, we'll open up our TSA queuing area more to be able to accommodate that rising traffic. And, yeah, it's going to be bigger and open, and you'll definitely see and feel the openness when you come in through the checkpoint.
Now, I recently passed through TSA on a trip at COS and didn't have really, I mean, it didn't seem that noticeable to me that there was stuff going on construction-wise there. So is that the goal with this construction coming up, the Elevate COS Concourse Modernization Project? Is that the goal so that people really don't recognize that they're in the midst of an ongoing construction project?
Well, you know, that's always the goal, right? We want to make sure that there's no major operational impacts or impacts to our travelers. Of course, the concourse is going to be more of an impact for folks than like the TSA queuing area or what we saw on the public side with the first floor or the second floor. So it'll be more of an impact. You'll definitely see walls up during construction, and they'll be done in phases. So if you haven't traveled the airport, our concourse is basically one big U, one straight line, and we're going to just go down the line for each phase. So the first phase is that first area on the concourse, gates 2 and 4, and that first set of bathrooms will all be walled off, and they'll start construction there. So definitely we'll see this construction happening, but our goal is to make it as seamless as possible and want to make sure that our customers have a good experience and our airlines are able to function as they need to serve our travelers. And, yeah, always want to make sure that those operational impacts are minimal, but always be prepared for what's to come.
I was wondering about that because the airlines, I mean, they have set schedules. They have, you know, planes they need to come in and need to load up and leave. And doing that, you know, when you're remodeling a home, you know, there are people who've remodeled a kitchen. They say, we ate out for 6 months and that worked. I mean, there's not much you can do to change what operationally needs to happen there at the airport. So how does that get accommodated?
Sure. And that's a great question. Really, what we're expecting is things will be shut down in phases. So there won't be a time where a certain amenity is just not available at all. So things will be shut down and relocated. So airlines right now have specific gates that they're at. We've went to what we call a common use system where airlines can easily move around to different gates. So we'll be relocating airlines throughout the project, at least the gates that they serve. Our amenities like retail and food will shift around as well and be closed during construction in certain phases, but not all together at once, because they're actually getting some facelifts as well. So they're doing construction, and we're going to be seeing updated retail and then updated food options as well throughout this project. So we're working with our partners on that. So in conjunction with our project, they'll be doing some updates as well. But in general, everyone will be able to access the things that they need to access. Some things will just shift around throughout the process, and some things may be limited or closed throughout certain phases. But all in all, you'll be able to get food, you'll be able to go to the bathroom, you'll be able to use all the different services that we have, just might change locations throughout the project.
Okay. And now there's a place where listeners can go to find out more, right?
Yes. So Elevate COS has its own dedicated website. So on there, you can find the renderings, what's to come, and so you can see some visuals of what we're planning. Overall, timelines and phases, what the financial breakdown looks like, what we're planning for accessibility and sustainability. Anything you want to know about the project is going to be at our website, which is elevate-cos.com.
Okay.
So you can visit the project's website.
Great, great, fantastic. Dana, we need to take a break here at the quarter hour mark. We're going to be back. We'll be talking about air service, how that has changed and how COS is becoming really the place to check and look before you book. We'll tell you why. That and more coming your way. We're back with The Extra, and our focus today is on Colorado's small airport, COS. Colorado Springs Airport, big in development and air traffic, big on friendliness, safety, and convenience, but that small size helping it bring a little bit more of a personable feel and definitely less headaches when it comes to your air travel, I'm guessing. All right, Dana Shield is our guest today. She's the public communication specialist for COS. And Dana, let's talk air service. What kind of routes are people able to take advantage of now?
Well, so if you haven't flown COS lately, it's definitely grown quite a bit since the pandemic, and we've actually seen pre-pandemic numbers surpassing pre-pandemic numbers. 2022 was our highest level of enplanements we've seen in 22 years. So our air service and our traffic with that has grown tremendously over time. We currently offer 6 different carriers: American, Avelo, Delta, Southwest, Sun Country, and United. And over the summer, we received quite a bit of an increase in air service. Delta began their Atlanta flight nonstop, which was a huge win for us. It's a great gateway airport to, gosh, so many places, international or domestic. We also welcomed Avelo and Sun Country over the summer. So Avelo flies to Burbank, the Hollywood, Los Angeles area, and Sun Country flies to Minneapolis, St. Paul, which Delta also serves. So over time, we've received quite a bit of air service. Our partners over at Southwest Airlines began service to Long Beach over the summer, and they announced recently that they will bring back those seasonal flights that they bring over the holiday season for select November, December, and January dates, and those will include San Diego, San Antonio, and Houston Hobby Airport. And what's exciting about those seasonal flights this year is the Houston Hobby flight will actually be served post-holiday season, so it'll stick around and be served weekly or twice weekly through the spring. So we're excited to have that Houston flight stick around. So overall, with our 6 carriers, there's multiple destinations that you can fly to direct. So a lot of major hubs like Houston and Vegas and Phoenix and Dallas and Chicago, but also really great connecting options that you can fly through all those airports really easily to get to your final destination.
Yeah, like Minnesota, definitely want to travel there during the summer, maybe not so much during the winter, right?
Yeah, and we have some great seasonal flights, like I said, and yeah, Minnesota is definitely one you want to maybe travel to while it's still warmer. But then, of course, over the winter, if you want a reprieve from the cold, we have great flights like Long Beach and Burbank and Las Vegas and Phoenix that can warm you up a little bit.
Right. And Florida, are there going to be any, I don't know if you mentioned Orlando flights, because I know we had those for a bit.
Yeah, so Orlando is definitely one of our top markets when it comes to those connecting options like I spoke to. We don't currently have a nonstop to Orlando, but it's on our radar for sure, and we definitely have pushed the issue with the airlines. We know, for those who don't know, the airlines are who decides where they fly and what routes we have here. So we're constantly pitching the case for COS and certain routes like Orlando, and DC is another really big one that we hear a lot. So we are always pushing the airlines of what we feel like the community will support when it comes to a certain route. So no nonstop to Orlando yet, but it is a pretty easy connection with a few of our carriers.
Certainly a lot of more excitement started surrounding our conversations when Southwest entered the market and became a partner with COS with the Colorado Springs Airport. What about seasonal Southwest Airlines flights?
Yep, so those are coming up select November, December, and January dates, so over the holiday season. The 3 locations that they're flying to are San Diego, San Antonio, and Houston Hobby. They've traditionally brought these flights back at this time of the year, or that time of the year, the last few years, and they've been really successful. Like I mentioned earlier, the Houston Hobby flight will be seasonal through the holiday season, but at the beginning of the year, after January, it'll actually stick around and become a more year-round route. So we're excited to have that Houston Hobby flight through Southwest. So, yeah, their seasonal flights, we're always excited when they bring those back, because it's a nice change in our air service.
Right. And for people with families in those areas, I mean, all of a sudden it becomes a lot, more convenient and attractive to maybe travel that route. It's easier to tell a grandparent or a child, because Southwest does allow you to, send kids as long as there's no connecting flight. You can send the unaccompanied minors on a flight to see grandma in Houston or whatever, and you don't have to worry about it. They don't allow it if it's a connecting flight. I don't think any of the airlines allow it. But when you have that direct flight, that opens up those options.
Absolutely. And I think the airport itself is an attractive option for those same kind of travelers. So families and maybe folks who are older or need more assistance, or a minor who's traveling on their own. Traveling through the Colorado Springs Airport, like we've said multiple times, Colorado Small Airport is not as stressful as it would be in a larger international airport. So not only do we have these great nonstop routes, but in general, I think our airport is much easier to navigate for folks like that.
Oh, certainly, certainly. You can get lost in some of the larger airports. Colorado Springs Airport, it's really easy, and plus everybody's really friendly when you ask for directions. You know, you can say, where am I supposed to go? Yeah, people are always up for that. Yeah. All right. Well, Dana, we need to take another break here at the bottom of the hour, get in some more commercial advertisements, as well as hear from Andrew Rogers regarding our latest news updates and weather from Joe Rook. But if people want to go for more information on some of this air service that we've been talking about, where should they track all of this information?
Sure. You can follow us on social, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at COS Airport, or visit flycos.com.
And we'll have more from Dana Shield when The Extra continues. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. All right, well, we just finished up with Labor Day weekend, and that's a busy time for traveling, of course. But now, time to look ahead to holiday travel, Thanksgiving, Christmas, all sorts of maybe times that you want to get together with people. Dana, this is usually, and we've seen over the years, we've come back from the pandemic and then some.
Absolutely, yeah. So we tend to use 2019 as a benchmark year for the aviation industry, like a lot of other industries, and we've consistently surpassed traffic from 2019 and before that, so well before the pandemic. So yes, so our recovery process has been pretty quick and pretty substantial. And holiday travel is a big part of that. Holidays like Labor Day, like you just spoke to, those three-day weekends, those really spike our travel. We saw over 30,000 folks travel through the airport over Labor Day, so the Friday through Monday, which is one of our higher labor days that we've seen in a while. Holiday travel, holiday season is just around the corner. It seems really early, but it'll be here before you know it. And now is a great time to start looking at your travel, booking ahead, and seeing, you know, what your options are and planning ahead for that.
I love the look before you book slogan. It really is true. Is that the best way that travelers can prepare?
I think looking before you book is always great, and there's so many times that, you know, you'd be surprised with what options you can find at COS. I think there's a lot of assumptions that there's not a lot of air service, or that we're always the most expensive, and that's really changed, and that really isn't the case anymore. So looking before you book, I think, saves you probably some headache in your travel if you're able to fly out of COS and you find the flight that works for you at the price point that works for you as well. So yeah, booking ahead, especially during holiday season, is going to be really helpful for travelers. It's one of the busier times of the year for travel, and you know, flights are hard to come by closer to, and they get really expensive the closer you get to your travel. So booking ahead and looking before you book is the way to do it.
Mm-hmm. How else can travelers prepare, do you think?
You know, I think no matter what the traffic expectation is, but especially during the holiday season, like I said, booking ahead is always helpful, but just planning ahead in general for your travel when the time comes. So arriving at the airport early, we say at least 90 minutes ahead of your flight, sometimes 2 hours during those busier time frames like Labor Day or Veterans Day or over the holidays. That time frame is your, you know, safety window of making sure you have time to park and to check your bag in and to check in with your airline and go through security and get to your gate and whatnot. So we just want to make sure everyone prepares ahead of time. I think obviously we pride ourselves in being small airport and having smaller lines, and typically our security wait is a lower one, but we always want people just to plan ahead, especially when there's an increase in traffic. You just never know what to expect. So planning ahead and arriving early, always check your status directly with your airline. The airlines are who manage their operations, not the airport. So they're the ones that decide cancellations or delays, or if there's going to be a change in anything with your itinerary, the airlines are who manages that. So just checking your flight status, especially during the winter season when, you know, it's weather is unpredictable with snow, making sure you check your status before driving to the airport, just to avoid any issues you might have if your flight's canceled or delayed and you've already made that trip out here. And TSA is a really big one. I think TSA is where a lot of people get caught up in their travel and where the slower process is. And a lot of it is just making sure you're prepared for what you can and can't bring through TSA. Anytime someone brings something that they can't bring through TSA, it stops the line for them and everyone behind them.
Right.
So it makes it easy when you're prepared and know, you know, what you can bring, what you can't, and your carry-on and your checked bag. And just being prepared and educating yourself before flying.
Yeah, and some of the airlines are changing their checked bag weight limits. I noticed that on a recent flight. So knowing that and weighing ahead of time, I was scrambling to try to figure out how to weigh a bag once. And I actually went into a veterinarian's office and I asked if I could use their pet weigh thing. And then my spouse pointed out to me, you know, all you had to do was get on the scale and then get on the scale holding the suitcase. Problem solved.
Yeah, that's what I do. You weigh yourself and then weigh yourself holding your suitcase.
And do some simple math. I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes the simplest solution's right in front of you. But you do need to, I mean, those kind of things, because you don't want to be that traveler who's all of a sudden having to scramble to rearrange things that are packed in bags because you're there at the gate and they're telling you that something weighs too much and is going to cost you more. When we're talking about preparations, I know one of the great things about the Colorado Springs Airport is parking is so easy. Even the farthest parking space, I mean, you're only walking for maybe not even 5 minutes, it feels like, to get to the entrance. But what about that before the pandemic or up until the pandemic? I think they had some sort of valet service. Has there been any talk to bring that back, or is it back?
So our valet service is back, and we brought it back, about a year or so ago, I think. It's been back for a little while, and you have two options. You have just your typical valet, and then we also have a covered portion of valet. And I think that's a great option for folks that, you know, need a little bit of assistance with parking or just don't want to deal with the hassle of the parking. However, like you said, our parking in general is pretty straightforward and pretty easy to navigate. And from my perspective, I actually walked from the long-term parking lot to the TSA checkpoint, and it was about 600 steps.
You were able to measure it.
Yeah, so I used my Apple Watch, counted my steps. So, I mean, in general, our parking is really close and easy no matter what option you choose. So we have our valet option, and we have short-term and long-term, which our long-term and short-term lots both have accessible parking spots. And our long-term lot offers a shuttle for those who you know, can't make the walk or don't want to make the walk to the terminal. We have shuttle service as well. So all in all, parking in general is convenient, whatever route you choose.
And do those rates change over the holidays?
So in the past, our rates have stayed the same. However, over the holiday season, we have had in the past parking promotion that has adjusted the price depending on what type of promotion it is. And so we've done that over the holiday season. Don't have specific details on that to share for this year, but in the past we have had discounted long-term parking for folks that are traveling over the holiday season, specifically during like the Thanksgiving timeframe and then towards the end of the year. So yeah, we try to offer, you know, what we can, but in general, even without the promotions, you know, our long-term lot is $8 a day and our short-term lot is $12 a day.
Right,
so,
right.
Already low prices.
Mm-hmm. That's not going to be your concern as it might be at some other places that shall remain nameless up to the north that we won't talk about. And I always want to point this out. We had a listener once, a taxi driver. Salute you taxi drivers out there, and as well as our Lyft and Uber drivers out there. And boy, when you're talking about the Colorado Springs Airport, it's such a low-cost ride when you are taking those forms of transportation as well. So that might avoid the whole thing, right, having to park right there. Dana Shields, stick around if you can. We have one more segment of The Extra. We're going to be talking about how the Colorado Springs Airport becomes an economic engine for the entire community and how your travel contributes to that. That and more when The Extra continues. Welcome back to The Extra, the show that connects you to the issues, topics, and people that are important to you. And sometimes the place that's important to us. And in this case, the place is the Colorado Springs Airport. I don't know what we would do without an airport, and especially one that's as vibrant as the Colorado Springs Airport. Certainly, it's become much more of a player in the travel lives of many in the community as growth in service has continued to head on that upward trajectory. And now we're starting to see some changes. You're going to be seeing a remodeling that's going to take the airport from the decor and amenities and maybe infrastructure of the early 90s into the future, into the 2023, 2024, 2025 time frame. So it'll be nice to get rid of that. At least we don't have to get rid of shag carpet like they had back in the 70s, right, Dana?
We do have some carpet to get rid of, but it's not too bad.
Shag carpet, popcorn ceilings, brass, you know, the brass bar.
Yeah.
Although I think some of those things are probably coming back in style the way it's going. Let's talk about why people should consider traveling in and out of COS.
You know, outside of all the reasons we've already talked about, of being a smaller airport and easier to navigate, you know, we talked about the friendliness that you get and how it's, you know, travel can be stressful enough, and traveling through an airport that's less stressful is a win for everybody. You know, those benefits are obviously really important for travelers, but I think something that, you know, folks don't always realize is, you know, as your community airport, the more you fly COS, the more we will grow. Airlines really look at the airport's performance as a whole when they're deciding whether to bring new service here or to expand service. And seeing the community support is a really big factor that airlines look at. And the airport is an enterprise of the city, which means we don't utilize taxpayer dollars or receive taxpayer dollars for anything, which means that when you fly COS, you are supporting what's really an economic engine in our community. You know, we provide jobs and growth from that piece, and of course, from we contribute to the tourism in our community as well. And it's just important for our community to know that when you support the airport, even if the route that you want us to serve nonstop may not be here yet, supporting us and traveling through the airport is really what's going to bring more airlines and more service to the airport and support your community as well.
Yeah, it builds upon itself that way. It does mm-hmm. indeed. And then I know Peak Innovation Park is also part of the Colorado Springs Airport. That too is becoming quite an economic engine.
Absolutely. So Peak Innovation Park, for those who don't know, is the 900 plus acre, it's actually 1,700 acre business park that's non-aeronautical land that the airport owns. And it has an array of businesses currently on it. It's about 20% developed at this point, with businesses like Amazon and Aerospace and Peak Technology Campus. So we have a lot of different businesses that are currently there and are hoping to expand retail and other services like that, restaurants. And right now we are currently building a hotel as well, which should be finished some point next year. So that'll be a really big win for travelers, especially like business travelers and those who are traveling from maybe farther away to fly out of COS, having that benefit of somewhere to stay close to the airport on airport property. So yeah, like you said, in general, Peak Innovation Park is another economic engine, and it spurred a lot of growth down in this area. The Southeast Corridor definitely has grown a lot because of the airport and Peak Innovation, and has contributed to jobs and has had a pretty big economic impact on the area as a whole. Mm.
We are coming to the end of our conversation here. Dana Shield, who is the public communication specialist for the Colorado Springs Airport. At the top of the hour, and I'm hoping you can recap here, Dana, we were talking about Elevate COS. And in our final minute or so, what would you like listeners to take away with them as far as the information about Elevate COS?
Absolutely. So Elevate COS, for those who don't know, that is our new concourse modernization project. It's a multi-year project that will modernize and update our facility in terms of accessibility and sustainability and just in general to modern services and amenities. You can visit the project website at elevate-cos.com and get more information on the project. But it's a multi-year project, so if you travel the airport in the next few years, you will see construction happening, and we'll obviously update folks along the way, but it's an exciting thing for our airport as we continue to grow and grow with our travelers and with our community.
And remember, if you see any of the construction tape or maybe some plywood blocking off things, that's what's going on there at the Colorado Springs Airport.
Yes.
And soon to debut a new and improved airport once all that remodeling is done. So as Dana was mentioning, there is a dedicated web page for that. But you can also go to flycos.com, and there you can get updated information as well. Follow them on social. Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. To Dana Shield and to all of the folks, the staff members who put in the hard work there at the Colorado Springs Airport, rain or shine, snow, wind, hail, whatever, they're out there making sure that you're traveling in safety and with convenience and a very friendly experience as well. We want to thank you, Dana, for sharing all what's happening with the airport.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
And to our listeners, thank you for listening to this hour of The Extra Show. We'll have another show on tomorrow, 9 to 10 a.m. That's with Justin Hermes. In the meantime, up after the top of the hour, we're going to have Tom Martino joining you. He'll tell you about the latest scams going around and how to protect yourself as a consumer. You're listening to KRDO News Radio. I'm your host, Shannon Bredius. Have a great day.